for today. I want to ask you this morning, what do you do in the middle of a crisis? You know, until a few weeks ago, that was really just a hypothetical question for most of us, wasn't it? Now, day by day, we seem to be learning how to navigate this. And I was thinking about the disciples and how after Jesus' death, it must have been a kind of similar situation for them. They must have felt like they'd been on a complete roller coaster over the last couple of weeks. There was the euphoria of Palm Sunday, the strangeness of Jesus washing their feet, the confusion and the grief and the fear of Good Friday, and then that joy and amazement. But I wonder too if there was a bit of disorientation round about the resurrection for them. Strangeness, grief, fear, confusion, disorientation. Recognise any of those feelings? You know, their heads must have been spinning. It must have been a case for them of, well, what now? What next? Where should they go? What should they do? What could they do? Were they going to be killed next? They needed to stay safe from what they saw as that very imminent threat to their lives that was on the outside. And so I want to suggest to you today, it appears that from many of their gospel accounts that they got together. For the most part, they self-isolated and they practiced social distancing. Effectively, these folks became leaders in lockdown. As I've thought about that this week, I've realised that it's in this place of fear, of confusion, of uncertainty, of grief, of disbelief, that Jesus joins them. In the 40 days after his death, Jesus appears to lots of people. And in those appearances, he demonstrates radical commitment to these leaders who had gone into lockdown. In those 40 days, as many encounter him, what they find out is that in that encounter, he graciously offers them what it is they need. So he meets Mary at the tomb, doesn't he? She doesn't recognise him. She thinks it's the gardener. And he calls her name. Mary, he says, he reminds her who she is. She's not just some woman at the tomb. She's Mary, and he's still her rabbi. Then he meets Thomas. Thomas, who refuses to believe that he's risen. And he meets Thomas right in the middle of his unbelief, and he addresses that unbelief. And he addresses it not with a reprimand, but with a gentle offer. Undeniable proof for Thomas. How kind. Then he shows up on the shores of Galilee, doesn't he? When the disciples have decided to go back to their day job and they're not catching much, and so he tells them where to put the net and he supplies them with a good catch. In the midst of this place where it looks as if the disciples have decided not to go on this road to change the world but to go back to where they were. He supplies the need that's right in front of them. And in the same story, we read of him showing up with Peter and taking the initiative to repair that ruptured relationship that there was. Then today we join them again, this time in the story in Acts 1, where Jesus shows up for a final time before going back to heaven. So read with me. We're in Acts chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him, and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back the same way you've seen him go into heaven. The end of that story makes me laugh because I can just imagine these two disciples staring up with their mouths open, absolutely agog at what's just happened. And then they're jolted back down to earth by the voices of these two men who turn up at their side. You know, this is Jesus' last encounter with them, and Jesus knows this, but still he demonstrates that same radical commitment that there's been all along. Not only does he want to address their need now, but he wants to make sure that they're equipped for what's to come, and so he promises power. Why does he tell them to wait in Jerusalem? Well, I reckon that apart from this being the fulfilment of the prophecies in Isaiah and Micah, he had to tell them to stay because I suspect they weren't going to hang about in such a difficult place unless he told them to. And he didn't want them to miss what was coming. Jesus knew that they couldn't do what he'd always been training them to do without the Holy Spirit. You know, the word for power that's used in Acts 1 here is actually from the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite from. These guys with the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, would be like dynamite. Probably in the history of the world, never has any group of people looked less like dynamite. But that's the thing with the Holy Spirit, isn't it? He's able to facilitate radical change. Jesus told the disciples that they needed to wait, and I guess in reality they probably had another 10 days or so of lockdown to endure before the power came. But you see, the thing is that because they were prepared to wait, we don't have to. We can experience the power of the Holy Spirit right now, even in the midst of lockdown. So, in this period of lockdown, what is it that you need? And I don't mean bread or milk or to see people again, although all of those are valid needs, but what is it that you really need? I wonder if, for some of us like Mary, you need to be reminded about who you are. Are you in danger of forgetting who Jesus says you are? I wonder if, for some of you, you're struggling to believe that anything of what you thought was true is actually true because it all just seems to have disappeared. Like Thomas, do you need some reassurance today? Like the disciples on the boat in Galilee, do you need a miracle of provision because actually there's just nothing there anymore? Are you like Peter? And in the midst of this lockdown where you've had to sit with yourself and the discomfort of what's churning up inside you, are you worried about that ruptured relationship with Jesus or with somebody else? Perhaps at the moment, though, your emotions and your mind are just so churned up and so all over the place that you can't even work out what it is that you need yourself. Maybe today you simply need to hear what Jesus said to the disciples on one of the first encounters that he had with them. Listen to what he says in John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and he stood amongst them and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Do you need his peace today? Do you know, whatever it is that you need today, the power of the Holy Spirit that was available to the disciples is available to you. Jesus is here by his Holy Spirit, and he's available to you today. You know, sometimes the power of the Holy Spirit brings great boldness, like it did for the disciples in the early church. For others, that power brings a real deep sense of peace and reassurance about who God is and who we are. Other times, the power of the Holy Spirit brings the ability to be able to do things and deal with situations which humanly just wouldn't be possible. You know, Jesus didn't abandon his disciples, and he hasn't abandoned us either. I want to encourage you today to allow him to come to fill you with his Holy Spirit again. Sometimes in the midst of a season like this, we get so diverted onto all the things on the outside that actually we forget that we leak, Holy Spirit, and in actual fact, we need to be filled up again. What does that power of the Holy Spirit look like in your life today? Where do you need that power in your life, and what is it that you need him to do? He's here and he's available. It doesn't matter that we're not together, because he's there where you are and he's here where I am at the moment. What do you need from him today? I want to encourage you to let Jesus demonstrate today his radical commitment to you in the same way that he did for the disciples. Perhaps you need to take just a minute somewhere today and ask him again to fill you. We're going to do that together in just a minute. But receive from him today. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He has not abandoned you. He has not abandoned us. He's here. He's available. And he's still radically committed to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that the same power that was available to those disciples in the very early days of the church is still available to us today. Father, will you come by the power of your Holy Spirit, and will you fill us? Will you come into homes now, wherever we are? Will you come and fill homes? Will you fill individuals? Will you fill families? Will you fill us with that power? And will you let us know beyond shadow of a doubt that you have not abandoned us? Be glorified in us and through us in this season, for your sake.